with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I'm going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the first reading we have the second part of St. Paul's 26-sentence homily in the synagogue of Antioch in Pisidia. Yesterday we had the first 13 verses, today we have the next 8, and you have the last 5 for homework. We see how Paul preached. We learn a lot about how we're to preach at every time, how we're supposed to share the faith, how you're supposed to interact with the women whom God sends to you. If you pay attention to how St. Paul structured it, it's paradigmatic for the proclamation of the faith. First thing is he started with all of their aspirations, their desires over the course, not just of their life on earth, but the centuries of the Jews before them. He went through all of salvation history. First step. Second is he pointed to Jesus as the fulfillment of all those aspirations. Third step, which is what we get today, he describes how those for whom Jesus had come to fulfill all those expectations and prayers first rejected him. But that didn't keep him down. God the Father raised him up. And then fourth, the last 5 verses, the homework, not just in terms of reading, but in terms of living, is to choose. Okay, all of that being the case, what do you choose? Are you going to choose like the ones who rejected him? Or are you going to choose like the ones who really embraced him? Those 4 things. We're always beginning, or we should, with people's aspirations, especially over the last 500 years in the subjectivist turn. To start with St. Thomas Aquinas and objective reality isn't going to correspond to most people unless they're really led by the head. Got to respond with the holes that are there, the deep desires that they have, the joys and the fears. Man's greatest fear, 7 out of 10 men in all the cultures of the world, is to fail. Start with that fear, and you'll be able to enter into conversation with God. If you can figure out what they're afraid of failing in, you're really going to be able to help them with a lot of the FOBs, as you call them. They're just really afraid of failing, and the most important stuff of all. You can connect with them there. Woman's greatest fear, 7 out of 10, every culture of the world, is to be alone, to be abandoned, to be unloved. You start there. They want to be loved. Both lead you to Jesus, who said, "Do not be afraid, and just as the Father has loved me, I love you." If you can't really figure it out, you just start with the deep desire for happiness that the Lord has placed within. But you start there. Second, Jesus is the fulfillment. Third, even though he is the fulfillment, not everybody saw it, some rejected. But God didn't let that keep him down. He's raised him up again. And now the choice. And we show them that the choice for God is possible. Today in the gospel, Jesus, surveying his apostles on the night he was betrayed, saw that their hearts were troubled, and he said, "Don't let them be troubled." He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." It's an extraordinary promise. "And I'm going to come back and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be." He wanted to be with them. "Where I'm going, you know the way." And then doubting Thomas blurts, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said something, it's a famous line, but it would have been one of the most shocking lines Jesus had set up until this point. The Jews had three great desires throughout the entire Old Testament. You see it in the Psalms. "Show me your path, O Lord." And Jesus says, "I am the path. Show me your truth. Show me your decrees, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth." Jesus is saying, "I am the truth. Show me the path of life." And Jesus says, "I am the life." Incredible. He was taking all of their aspirations and saying, "I am the response." Key for us to meet Jesus in each of these three ways. When he says, "I am the way," he's not just giving us a map. He's simply saying, "Follow me. Do as I do. Walk with me. Journey." It's a thing for all our action and activity. Next, all our thoughts. "I am the truth." Pontius Pilate's question reverberates. "What is the truth? Quid est veritas?" It's important to answer that question to understand how Jesus is the truth. The truth is, as Thomas liked to say, the adequation of the mind and the world. But if I say it's a rainy day and believe it's a rainy day, we go outside, we test it. If it's rainy, what I've just said is true. If it's not, I'm either deceived or deceiving. Jesus says, "I am the truth." He is saying he is the ultimate ground of reality. This is so important for us today in this age of scientism, which people think that the only truth is what you can see in a microscope or weigh on a scale. But Jesus is saying, way beyond that, "I am reality." To live in the real, real world, you're living in the world in which you observe me in everything, because I'm truly there. To enter into communion with Jesus, the truth, means that we adequate everything in our life to him. "I am life," which doesn't just mean I am the source of life and now you're on your own. Means that we literally draw our life from him. As we were talking about a week ago, the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. We draw our existence from him. This is the most essential thing about being a Christian, that we do not live on our own, but that Christ is our life. To such a degree that we, with St. Paul, are able to echo existentially, "It's no longer even I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What Jesus was saying there is, you've prayed for centuries to the Father to show you the path, to show you his decree so that you might walk in the truth, to show you the path of life. You've prayed to God, and I am the response to that prayer. And then it comes to the choice to follow, to believe, and to draw. All of these come to their culmination in the Holy Eucharist. It's here that we come to hear the Lord's truth and recalibrate our entire existence. It's here that we learn how to walk in his footsteps. And not just that, but to walk as a three-legged race with Jesus all our days, yoked to him on the inside. And then it's here we come to receive the life within so that we might have his life and have it to the full. So don't let your hearts be troubled. You do have faith in God. Believe this. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.